The Feld Ballet mixes the elegance of classical dance and the freedom of modern dance. The company was founded in 1974 by Elliot Feld. Since 1978, he's also run a dance school that recruits from New York's public schools. There's no tuition, and the city provides bus transportation. Two former students are now members of the Feld Ballet. Elliot Feld formerly danced with the American Ballet Theater and performed on Broadway. He's choreographed about 60 dances. I asked him about the difficulties of integrating ballet and modern dance.
Well, I think that the classical tradition is one of lightness and the disguise of effort, so it should never appear difficult. And modern dance comes from a tradition of the earth, that things are down into the ground, and it tends to be more expressive of emotions that are familiar to us. It doesn't deal very often with princes and with fairy tales. So the notion of making ballet, or the feeling to make ballet somehow more expressive or more a part of our lives as we understand them and as dancing is today, I think is a kind of an attempt to reconcile that feeling of lightness with ground.
When did you first start studying dance?
I started at 11 years old at Balanchine School, the School of American Ballet.
Was this because you wanted to, or because you know, a parent suggested that it would be good for you?
No. I don't know why I wanted to dance. I had probably only seen Bambi Lynn on the Ed Sullivan Show. I'm serious. And I just always did, and I don't know why.
Were you ever afraid of the sissy connection that, you know, friends would think, oh, you know, he's queer, he dances ballet?
No, I wasn't afraid of that because I just didn't let them know. Because
you
clearly,
didn't let them know you danced?
Yeah. I used to go at age 11 from Brooklyn to Madison Avenue, where Mr. Balanchine had the school. And I used to carry my dance clothes in this little black attaché case as though I was on my way to Wall Street or something. You know, it's the child broker. But then I went to the High School of Performing Arts, and I mean, it was not a big deal.
Well, everyone's into the arts there. Yeah,
but I don't think it had to do with dancing. I mean, as you're, you know, finding your own sexual identity, that's a very scary time anyway. I don't think it was made more fearful because of dancing.
Were there any advantages being one of the few boys who, you know, who was dancing of your age?
There were great advantages. I started dancing in 1954, and I was one of two boys at the School of American Ballet, one of two in the entire school. And so 3 months after I began, I was the little prince in the first production of The Nutcracker. Well, you know, I went from a kid from Brooklyn to being a prince in a classical ballet in 3 months. So I certainly know the rewards of there being very few male dancers. And now the competition is much greater. And I'm grateful, because I did not have a great facility for ballet dancing, that the competition was not as keen when I was coming up.
I think it was when you were 16, you joined the cast of West Side Story, and you were in the Broadway version, first, I think, as one of the sharks, and then as Baby John?
Yes.
And then you were in the movie as Baby John, too.
Correct.
How did you get the part at age 16?
I was actually walking on Broadway with a girl I was going with, and she said, "I dare you to go backstage and sign up for West Side Story to audition." So I went backstage, you know, on a dare, you'll do anything. And then I got a call to come to an audition. There were hundreds of people. And through a series of auditions, I was selected. And there was great cachet to being in the show. I mean, in 1958, it was the show. And you got to grow your hair long, and everybody knew you were in it. It was wonderful.
How did you feel being this gang member breaking out into dance?
Well, I love
the show, but there's always something like slightly incongruous about it, you know, because you always expect, well, gee, gangs, it should be like a rock and roll soundtrack or something. This was
before rock and roll. This is when 58. Rock and roll was Dion and the Belmonts. I mean, that was
nothing
rock and roll.
Nothing wrong with that.
No. But I mean, it's not rock and roll like today. But it's interesting. In the show, I think because theater tells you to suspend certain realistic expectations, that once you enter that world, you forgive its conceits, and you actually embrace those conceits. So I don't think in the show it bothered me, but whenever I would see the movie, I always thought, why are these guys dancing? I mean, because the buildings were real, the cement was real, Everything was real, and somehow I couldn't make, why are these fellas dancing? I don't understand it. So I know the feeling that you're talking about, but on the stage I found it credible.
I think after West Side Story, you did a couple of other shows. I think you danced in Fiddler on the Roof.
Right.
And I Can Get It for You Wholesale.
Right.
Did you like being in those kinds of Broadway shows? They were...
Well, mostly I did it for money.
Yeah, sure.
Quite frankly. I was in American Ballet Theater when I did Fiddler, and we were on, you know, a six-month layoff, and I called Jerry and I said, you know, is there any work anywhere? I mean, I needed to pay my rent. And he said, yeah, go see Tommy back at Fiddler. I think that we can find something. And in 3 days after that, I was in charge of the show because Tommy had to go to Israel to set the production in Israel.
Huh. You dance on some of the TV variety shows, right?
Right.
Gary Moore,
mm-hmm.
Ed Sullivan.
Yeah.
Let me guess, with these production numbers where there was maybe a slightly washed up female singer
Well,
doing
actually,
a number
not necessarily. I mean, I danced with Liza Minnelli.
Really?
I mean, I didn't dance with her. I was one of the backup fellas. So it wasn't always washed up people. She wasn't washed up. I think she was about 18 at the time.
Right. Did you enjoy the choreography? My personal memories are of some very kind of corny choreography that came out of
Oh, it was crap. I mean, what are we talking about? It was awful. I mean, it was just terrible. But I was young and ignorant, and it was great, so.
Okay. You founded your company in 1975.
Four.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Why did you want your own company?
I didn't like working for other people, Terry. It's really a question of trying to find the freedom to do what you feel the calling to do. And in the context of a large institution, which ballet companies are, they're large institutions, your needs are secondary to the institutional needs. And so I decided that for me, the best thing was to have a company of my own, if I could manage to. And although one gives up many... the prerogatives and, I mean, it'd be much easier to let somebody else pay the dancers and to let somebody else rent the theater and to do all of that. I found it that it served my professional and aesthetic ambitions to take on those burdens because it gave me a kind of freedom I couldn't have otherwise.
Do you have to keep up to a schedule of new dances for each season? In other words, do you feel like you have to work almost on a quota of coming up with a certain number of new dances every year?
Well, I do, but more from an internal, more for myself than for the company.
Oh, so that you feel that you're keeping fresh and
so
producing.
That I know that I'm alive.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
You know, when I finish a ballet, the great fear is that, will I ever have the feeling to do another ballet?
Yeah.
I mean, there is a day when I finish it and I look and I say, ah, yes, I did it. And then the next day it's like, okay, so what are you going to do now? But sometimes it does feel a little bit like the tail is wagging the dog. I mean, when you really get exhausted and you're replacing dancers because dancers come and go. Like anything, there's the despair of the fact that you never arrive. There is no such thing as getting there. It's all just trying. It's all effort. It's always beginning again. It's always beginning again. That's what's exhausting about it, and that's what's thrilling about it.
It must be really frustrating when a dancer who you really like leaves, either because they're retiring or they're forming a new company or they're going to another company.
It's only a small death. Yes. No, it is. I mean, the dancers that you... that become your means of expression, with whom you have shared the most intimate... I mean, it's not that it's intimate in a social way necessarily, but in a professional way, which is often much deeper, that these, what you felt were commitments turn out to simply have been temporary. And you really have to harden yourself to it because there were times when I just thought, I just can't go on. I mean, I have to quit this. And then you start again. And that's when I'm saying that it's always starting again.
I guess that's another reason, too, why it's nice to know that there's a school that you're running with a lot of new people coming up through the ranks.
That's exactly right. That is why, because it gives you the end, the beginning of the continuity, and it's there for you to see so that when your end, which is the far side, may be in disarray, you can look back at the beginning and say, Ah, but yes, in only 8 years, that child will be a wonderful dancer.
How reassuring can you get?
Yeah, that's right.
So what's your tour schedule like now for the next few weeks?
Well, the company goes from here to Glassboro and then to Nashville and Chattanooga, and then they're off for Christmas, and then we have a week at the Kennedy Center, and then we have 6 weeks in New York.
Well, great. Good luck with it.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for doing the interview.
Thank you.